man, this is Kevin Smith, and you're listening to the Comic Com, man. This is where you get all your comics info, and take that from a comics guy, a comic book man.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Comic Com Podcast, Season 3, Episode 46, recording this on November 15th, 2023. It's your boy, Nemesis Prime, hosting the show. We got Mr. Manimal on a, I don't know, what you want to call this, travel log? Right,
yeah, travelogue. Back home in Kansas City with the family, had a my grandfather passed away, so I'm back for a funeral this weekend. So, yeah. But it's always nice to kind of have a break from the sadness with some comics. But it is kind of weird because this is the second time we've recorded today. So,
yes. So if you haven't know, we did put out the bonus content for the Marvels review. So make sure you go check that out as well. The complete spoilers of the Marvels review for what both Zach and I thought about the movie. But let's kind of get right into the episode because Mr. Manimal, again, is working remotely. So, and I think we do have a guest. Not sure if he's going to be attending. Oh, wait, hold on.
Are you ready?
Up straight into the market. You ready?
Hot
topics from this week. You ready? At the store. Into it. It's market report time. You ready? So Jay, I gotta ask you, you ready?
You think that
I'm ready to go.
Better?
Zach, yeah, I gotta ask, are you ready?
I'm ready. Ready.
So, that being said, I gotta ask you, you ready?
I'm ready. To the master.
Learned that I'm excited to go over. You ready? I'm ready. I love this stuff.
Oh my god, it's Black Crown Comics in the building. Holy cow, that intro. Woo!
Did you ask though, is he ready?
Dude, are you guys ready? Yo, first of all, has anybody had such an epic intro? Because that was incredible.
Dude, who made that intro?
That was amazing. Dude, I really hope they don't take it down, though, because of the song.
Ah, that's fine. We're not monetized. We make no money. We, talk about
we make zero show. Money, dude. Yeah.
Well, welcome to my club.
Oh, so thanks for jumping on, BC. It's been a while, right?
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure, dude. This is what, like third, fourth time, man. It always feels like home. I'm always happy to be here with you guys.
Hell yeah.
It's easy. It's flowing. We appreciate you coming on. We obviously have a lot of things to talk about. You all know BC. You can follow Black Crown Comics on Instagram, YouTube. Check him out. He's doing all different stuff over there. But like we said, we want to get right into a lot of stuff that we have to talk about tonight. So let's get right into it. Let's go with some community questions. We have our first one over from our buddy Ken Marion. He goes, when are we doing our all video game podcast?
Oh, hell yeah.
Manimal, I'm going to leave that up to you.
Man, yeah, we got to do that. Obviously, we got a guest that we think we're going to have on next week. We have Thanksgiving. We got to do it probably early December sometime. It's funny, though, because I'm always sending, well, and I send them to you, too, if you haven't. Well, so I'll either send them to you or Ken if I haven't seen you've liked the Instagram post of some like Final Fantasy shit, and then I'll end up sending it to someone. But if you like it, then I just send it to the other person. Yeah, dude. No, we do have to do that. But we might need to schedule that. We might need to wait until we have some good games to talk about. You know what I mean? Right?
I have a lot of good games to talk about. I think we should just have like the talk should just be the history of games.
Okay.
Like our... I guess like our whole, yeah, like kind of like a history, yeah. Like a breakdown, just discussions, you know, and it doesn't exactly how we talk about comics. Like we've been reading comics for so long. We've all been gaming for so long. So it'd be cool just to kind of hear like the origin stories of all of our gaming things. So,
well, we also might have an announcement too, that maybe we want to wait with Ken. That'd be a good time to, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to wait a little bit on that. So yeah, things are in the works. So that's that. We will definitely hopefully have Ken on and do our bonus content, all video game show. We've been talking about that for quite a long time. And obviously, everybody knows what's going on in my world, becoming a huge video game collector again. So we'll don't want to get more into that. Next up, Mr. Ghostface says, Justin, who is your most overrated Star Wars character? And actually, we could also, you know, you guys can jump in too. So most overrated Star Wars character? Ooh, overrated. I don't know. That is a tough one. Overrated in the world of Star Wars, whether movies, cartoons. Oh, man. Overrated. I'm going to go with, you know, you got to go with the sequel trilogies. So you got to go with like Rey, you know, because she was like the main character in the sequel trilogies. And she really wasn't like, she was there, but she so. I don't know. I just don't like her. I didn't like her, man. She's so overrated. Because now they're going to bring out like a new movie series with her. And I get it. It's like these are no longer our Star Wars movies. They're like for the kids. So they all know Rey and Finn and Poe. But yeah, she's overrated.
What do you think, BC?
Honestly, oh, man, I want to say Mace Windu.
I thought about saying that. I did think about that one.
Yeah, like
it's just because it's because the actor. That's the only reason he has such a following.
Yeah, like it just, I don't know. He always stuck out like a sore thumb in any of the movies as well, right? I was just like, I'm not feeling it. Samuel L. Jackson, got love, nothing but love for him. But Mace Windu, just, I don't know.
What about you, Zach? Damn.
Okay, so this could be controversial. I kind of, in a way, and it's because of, like you said, the sequel trilogy, I kind of feel like Luke's a little overrated. Ooh. And that's because, and I know, it's, and I wouldn't have said this except that they weakened him so much in the sequel trilogy that I feel like the original trilogy kind of doesn't really stand. And if you go back and obviously time, you know, it's time, it's older. You go back and you look at the original trilogy, like what did the guy do? He rode around on, he had Yoda riding on his back for a little while. And then he's like the best Jedi who ever lived at some point, you know? So like, but I think genuinely, and we've said this multiple times very recently, Lando sucks, dude. Like, Lando's so overrated, but the controversial decision would be Luke based on the sequel trilogy.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. May get some hate for that one, but it's okay.
I know. Might get some hate.
Poor Lando.
Yeah.
Wow, Lando blows, bro. He's just like, he's so one dimensional. It's just like, oh, he's such a rogue.
you're crushing Donald Glover's dreams.
I mean, actually, Donald Glover's portrayal might have been the best portrayal. but I don't know.
All right. And one last question for the crew here. So this one's actually coming from our boy Mike the Beast Benson. Hey fellows, hope all is well. So in the past you guys have talked about how to make the FF comics good again. The FF, obviously Fantastic Four, are my favorite Marvel comic of all time, so I've been dying for a great ongoing. I was thinking about an arc where there's a rivalry between Norman and Reed. I guess Norman Osborn. Yeah, Norman Osborn and Reed, involving something science related. It would be cool seeing two of the smartest minds in comics going at it, plus sprinkle in some goblin madness. Maybe Doom hires Norman for some project. What do you think, B-Wall guys?
Man, that's actually kind of fitting. We didn't even talk about this pre-show about there's a lot, obviously with the strike coming up. I feel like just today, lots of news comic book dropped, which we're going to kind of talk about later trailer wise. But we did have a casting situation kind of being released with Pedro Pascal kind of being mentioned as a Reed Richards guy. I don't know, you know, it's always so tough with FF, dude, but I like the idea. It's a decent idea. I would say leave Doom out of it though, like try to have like a standalone. And I don't know where Norman's still Gold Goblin, so he's still good right now
for now.
For now, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently the build up now for Norman is obviously there's going to be a turn. I think it's going to come right out of ASM 50. So, dude, I will take Norman Osborn versus Reed Richards any day over Spider-Man. I'm so tired of seeing those two go at it. But something that would get me to Fantastic Four comics, dude, they released a wild cover this week with Doom riding the dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I like this idea, by the way, the whole Doom versus Reed. Reed versus Osborn. I think it's cool.
I'd almost like an arc where they get split up, where the four split up. Like they go, I'm just throwing this out. I don't even know if this would be a good idea, but basically they go somewhere, maybe like in a wormhole, and they all get fucking separated.
Yeah.
And they have to operate on their own solo. Because I don't know, man. They're just moderately boring.
Yeah, it needs a shake up for sure. Isn't in the, what was it, the Dark Ages, right? Kind of like an Elseworld story.
Yeah.
Reed was working with Apocalypse and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? When, and like it was like Reed and
hostage,
like,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And like Lunette, Moon Girl, you know, helping them create, you know, whatever they were doing. Obviously, I haven't read it in a while, but I enjoyed the Dark Ages storyline. I thought it was a good 5-issue run that was pretty interesting. Yeah. And that's what you need. You need like Reed to be working with somebody, or having someone else who's just as smart as him. And obviously we've seen it with the Maker. all the time you have them with Doom, but yeah, it's got to be somebody, you know, create somebody. Realistically, that's what you got to do, is create a new character in the FF world that can rival Reed. You know, yeah. Stop using the same characters over and over. Yeah.
Or shake up the leadership role. Like, you know, I'm sure, I'm just not super savvy on like all the arcs of Fantastic Four, but shake up the leadership role. Let like Thing lead the team and see where it goes for some reason, you know, or even Sue, you know, maybe shake it up like that. Keep their damn children out of it though. God, they suck too. And this is probably pissing Gabe off too, because Gabe's a massive Fantastic Four fan.
Yeah, well, you're gonna piss off somebody.
I like Fantastic Four. It's just they got to do something, man. I don't know. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a while since there's been a very good FF story. And because what are they on now? I think they're on issue 10 or 13. 11.
13.
Somewhere.
Yeah. And this is the second volume since they came back, since Secret Wars, I believe.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know who's writing it, right? It was previously Slott. Who's writing it now? BC, do you know off the top of your head?
Right now it's Ryan North.
Couldn't tell you. No, yeah. Yep.
I didn't pick that up that run. Yeah, I read the really been... slot. I read the slot stuff, but
yeah,
it was okay.
Interesting stuff. So appreciate the questions. Of course, you could always check out the Comic-Con podcast on Instagram. Check out the stories. We usually try to post that up before we're going to record. If not, you could always hit us up on our Gmail account, thecomiconpodcast@gmail.com, or just send us a DM directly to our Instagram. And just actually, we're going to kind of get into this one last question that actually I just saw on Instagram, and it's from Newbie Comics. And it's actually perfect because it goes right into our next community thing. Newbie Comics says, if you could steal any comic book, which comic would it be, and what employee would you fire? Jesus Christ. Well, clearly, if I could steal any comic, it would probably be a Detective Comics 27, because it'd be my grail.
Okay.
And would I fire that employee? Yes, I would. DC?
If I had to steal a grail, it would definitely be AF-15 in a nice high grade, and I would fire Newbie Comics from his own channel. That's how I would do it.
Nice. Use him as the fall guy, right?
Yep. Yeah.
What about you, Manimal?
Man, I already told my boy Adam of Filter Comics. I was like, we were talking about that whole situation. I said, look, dude, if I'm going to steal from anyone, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm coming after your collection. Like, you've got Action Comics 1 through 100. Like, bro, you're the guy I'm robbing. Like, that's the dude I'm going for. So, and I'm blaming a cousin, because I think that's what you do, right? You just say it's your cousin and you fire that guy. Yeah, I got a couple cousins I can fire.
Oh my God. Great question. I literally just saw that last second as I was deleting the post. So, and then again, let's kind of continue. I know we keep talking about this, but again, it needs to be said, the continuing episodes of Epic Nation. So if you didn't see myself and Binky's over on Thoreau's Keep It Thoreau's channel earlier this week, if you didn't know, there was a Jewish community expo, comic expo, that was in Brooklyn, New York over the past weekend, and Epic Nation, quote unquote, set up there. It wasn't his booth specifically. He was there with other people and used them to set up. But from what we found out on Sunday was that not only was myself, but Keep It Thoreau Comics, Comic Dunes, Sub-Zero Comics, and Nick GQ were banned from the show. We would have been banned and not able to enter the comic show for fear of threatening their employees or other garbage. So yeah, that's so cute. And then the best thing is, like, so we're banned because of that. But then he goes on Instagram and does these IG stories saying, oh, I'm still here, guys. I'm still here. Look at the, you know, the trolls, blah, blah, blah. Bro, you're like crying wolf. You literally are like crying wolf, because now it's like you are just putting more fuel to the fire by banning people from comic shows who just listen. If I was to go to a show that he's at, I'm not doing anything to him, man. I'm going, I'm digging comics. Like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
And then you're just out there like trying to showboat, you're really not showboating because you're scared as shit. Watch Thoreau's watch Thoreau's Sunday night show, man. He looks like a scared puppy looking all around, shifting his eyes like he's waiting for one of us to walk by because he has no idea how to handle the situation. You've all seen him hit. You've all seen him handle a situation on Instagram Live. You can check out the Comic-Con podcast, first live show about 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point, and see how crazy he went. So, yeah, that's a quick thing. I don't know if you guys want to kind of touch on this real quick.
I mean, it's just everything he does makes him look more and more guilty, right? So, like, you know, obviously the changing of the stories multiple times. It's just at this point, I mean, it's not even – I don't want to say it's not worth talking about. It's just like, if you have to, if anyone needs to be convinced of this guy's guilt at this point, you probably, I don't know, you need an IQ test or something. But the fact that he's going to these shows and saying, hey, here's a list of people, yeah, it's out of fear. And yeah, he's afraid of, because he messed up. I don't know. This guy, he's a joke. And it's unfortunate there's still people in the community that are working with him. And granted, there's some like outstanding contracts that are probably still in the works. And I think time will get rid of this guy. But I do, like you said, we still got to keep the pedal to the metal, you know, like awareness needs to keep going.
I think
Canada. What's going on up in Canada with this? What do you guys think about all this? I know you and Newbie and, you know, you guys really haven't been talking about it. I feel like you Canadians are kind of like, they don't care, or it's just not on your radar because it's not happening in your neck of the woods. But
I wouldn't say it's not on our radar, to be honest with you. I think you guys are doing a phenomenal job keeping the pedal to the metal. Now, what I find interesting out of what you just said, I'm gathering that this guy didn't officially have a table, yet you're banned from the show, which makes absolutely no sense in my books. Dude, if anybody should be banned, it's clear as day. Right, like we've seen, the whole internet has erupted. The Instagram side, the YouTube side, everyone's called it out. You see it clear as day. I don't know how anybody wants to line themselves up with this guy, affiliate with him, because, like I said, you see it. The guy's handled himself like a complete tool. It is what it is. We take it and call it for what it is. I just don't understand how other places, you know, Zach, you just brought it up, you know, contracts might be in the work and whatnot, whatnot, they should be getting on this case. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not too sure what the fine details are behind the scenes, but the fact that anybody's giving this guy a platform is mind boggling. That's what my two cents are.
Okay. Yep.
We appreciate it. We haven't heard much from, you know, the great white North.
Well, I could tell you one thing, man. Look, I'm not a Whatnot user. I'll be honest with you. It's a great platform for sellers and so forth. But if, you know, at least when I first attempted to get on Whatnot, because there were language laws that prevented me when they made their way to Canada. Yes, that's a true story. I had to give my driver's license. I had to give, you know, ID. And I assume they're doing background checks. Now, does this guy check out? Who the hell knows? I don't know. But it's insane how many people came forth, from luxury cars to comics. There's so much stuff. So
yeah,
start doing your homework, Whatnot. I think it's on you guys now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's going on. That's the latest from Epic Nation's issues, I guess. But, you know, again, more things are going to keep coming out. Keep watching. Keep it thorough. You know, if more stuff gets put to light with us, we'll be throwing it out there, as well as, you know, whoever else wants to do it. So, let's get out of the community section. Let's get into some comic books with our weekly reads. Zach, did you get a chance to read books this week?
Not this week, but I do have one that I read that I really enjoyed. And I kind of was talking to you about it. I think we talked about it, I don't know, on the show last week or not, but in my recent DCBS order, I got a copy of Unnatural Order from Vault Comics. Really enjoyed the book. It's got a very much like a Dungeons and Dragons feel to it. It's kind of set in the medieval times in a way, obviously a little bit modern times, but obviously some fantastic fantasy type situations as well. I really enjoyed it, and I'm going to keep reading it like ongoing for sure. Check it out. Like I said, Vault Comics, Unnatural Order. I can't remember who the writer is right now off the top of my head. I don't have any of my books with me or anything, but I definitely enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to continuing it. But yeah, other than that, I haven't read anything this week.
Nice. Let's go to our guest. What do you got for weekly reads, sir?
Dude, I loved Gods 1, although it did take me 2 reads, man. I love Hickman stuff. I had to go back for a second take because there was a lot to unpack. Dude, I was kind of confused. And, you know, Wynn really feels like a Constantine version of, you know, Marvel's version of Constantine. So I enjoyed that. But again, even issue 2, I found myself confused at the end of it. I was like, wait a minute. So I had to go back and I was rereading and I'm like, man, there's a lot to unpack in this. So I don't know what Jonathan Hickman's doing here, but it is interesting. It's just, I want to see more pieces unfold. So that's reeling me in. It is.
Nice. It's not, there's no shame in rereading Hickman, man. Hickman and Hickman and Morrison, Grant Morrison are like 2 writers that sometimes you have to reread to catch what they're throwing at you.
Absolutely. But I will say the disappointment from last week was Punisher 1. I think we were all hyped for that. We were all hyped. You know, Nemesis, sorry, not Nemesis, it was you, Zach. You and I were talking about the new Punisher being a new character, and that's awesome. That's what we want, something refreshing. But it felt exactly like Frank Castle, right?
Yeah.
Like copy-paste. Like I was like, yeah.
Yeah, a weaker version of Frank Castle even. Yeah. That was a bummer.
Anything else?
I could go on forever. There was Thanos. Thanos was good. I liked
it. Yeah, how was
I didn't read it. I like Thanos was pretty good. Yeah.
It was pretty good. Dude, I'm biased because I love Thanos, but I thought
okay. So who do you think the girl's going to be? I have my theory.
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know. I'm curious to hear your theory.
I feel like it's Death. I think it's a recreation of Death. I think it's going to be a reincarnation of Death.
Yeah, would make sense.
There's something going on why Thanos is like looking for that girl and hunting, and no one gets Thanos' attention like Death does, and he's coming. Like, and then all the Avengers kind of go into like protect, or the new Illuminati or whatever.
I kind of feel like it would fall flat though. Like
it would. I think so too. I don't think it's like very. I might have guessed it so easily kind of makes it not awesome. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I could be completely wrong. So.
All right. For me, the hottest of hot garbage, stinkiest all of every book that I've read this year, Star Wars Visions, 1.
Oh boy.
New book by Peach Momoko. I can't even say written because there's no words. It's just all of her art in a story, but again, it's, and maybe again, people are going to hate me for this. I think it was just, she's hit or miss. She does great on covers. Her interiors are sometimes done very well. Like I enjoyed all the demon for the most part. I enjoyed all the Demon Day stuff. Like I thought those were good, but she did that storyline in the Darth Vader, black, white and red series. And I thought that was stupid. And Star Wars Visions, it was just so bad. Like, I can't even, I don't even want to explain the story because it's just so hot garbage.
Dude, it's funny you bring up Momoko because did you see what Thoreau shared on his Instagram with the Wolverine thing? That was probably the worst art I've ever seen. Now, like you said, you know, Momoko is hit or miss for me, mostly miss.
She's always a miss for me. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really not a fan, but that Wolverine one, you got to go see that. If you're not already, go follow Thoreau on Instagram and go see that post. Dude, that, I don't know if it's a Wolverine cover where he's got like tubes of wires or whatever stuffed in his mouth, but man, it's terrible.
All right, you're going to have to show us post show because I definitely need to see this now.
Justin, did you check out Animal Pound?
I didn't get the
Ashcan or
I had to order it.
I have a few Ashcan if anybody needs. Yeah.
Maybe just hold me one then.
Yeah, maybe hold me one too.
No problem.
So other than that, Something is Killing the Children is 34 is another book that I just felt like this issue is just like a waste. It's this like drawn out story between Erica and Cutter, and then you have Erica with the doppelganger monster, and Gabby is just becoming drawn out. Like this issue really thought finally something was going to happen. You know, you you had the monster coming towards them. You're like, oh, they're finally going to fight. And she finally sees the monster and realizing it's her, like a doppelganger of her. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden Cutter comes in, is like trying to get Gabby. And now she's all done up and she's like, oh, I'm going to leave the monster here. I'm going to go run and try to save Gabby and the other chick. And then it just ends. And you're just like, what?
Yeah, dude. Nothing happens in like any issue, I feel like, anymore right now. Like it's just, it's almost like they've run out of ideas or they're stretching it out to like a number because it feels like nothing happens. I mean, these past six issues could be two issues for sure in terms of like what's occurred, like which is nothing.
I feel like it's just coasting, dude. Like the story is just at that point where it's like coasting through, like you said, it's kind of like,
yeah, know, the last I don't know what they're doing.
I know, I know Zach and I talked about this for this month's pre-orders for November's pre-order is coming out for, I guess, what's it, February or January? I forget. I think there was no listings. So I think this is the last issue for quite a while. So it's going to be very interesting to see what actually happens. Like, are we just going to get this arc and then that's it? You know, is that the last thing? Because I know for as far as pre-orders going, there wasn't anything solicited past 35. So
yeah, one more issue. CLC has,
It's like that's the last thing that's going to happen. And then I guess we're going to get the Books of Slaughter. That's kind of still go, or House of Slaughter, and then the Book of Slaughter next one shot that we talked about a while ago. But I guess pick of the week, Batman versus Robin 3. Love Simone DeMeo's art. Absolutely gorgeous. Such a futuristic cyberpunk look. You got Batman, Robin. You got a character that was literally a throwaway in the New 52 with White Rabbit, like literally introduced in, I think it was Detective Comics, like one or two, right? Or no, Dark Knight, one of those like early series. Dark, it was just, was it Dark Knight?
I don't know. Now you got me stuttered. I think you might be right.
Yeah, because Detective had the doll maker. So I'm pretty sure it was Dark Knight. And like, she was like nobody. She like had a cool cover. First appearance was like awesome. You know, she fought with some jacked up Two-Face, I remember. And then she was gone. And now all of a sudden she's back and she's cool. You know, they're trying to make her, you know, recognizable, I guess. It's like really interesting. And then obviously you have this character named Shush, who's not really working with Hush. But, you know, I talked about it when issue two came out, you know, the character name, like there's just create new characters, but don't use old character names, basically. So. The storyline's still great. I love the whole Damian and Batman aspect. It's always a back and forth battle between father and son. So definitely pick of the week was Batman and Robin, number three for me.
Nice.
All right, people. So out of the weekly reads and into some TV and movie talk. I feel like this week, now that the writer's strike is over, there's been nothing but news dropping. People have been going on, you know, talk shows and talking about stuff. Actors and actresses have been finally able to post stuff on Instagram. We've seen so much behind the scenes stuff, so many shows. So let's kind of start off with some trailers. Two trailers dropped today on the Marvel side. We had our first trailer of Madame Web coming out next year in, says February. I guess it's still going to be February. So what's, Zach, let's start off with you. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh man, the movie no one needed. It's just, I don't know, man. I mean, when I first saw it, I guess I was like, okay, this looks okay. But then the more I thought about it, I'm just like, I so much hate the Sony Spider-Man stuff. It's so pointless. It's so a universe based on Spider-Man that you don't have Spider-Man. So it's like, we can get really, really close to Spider-Man. We can have Ezekiel here looking basically like Spider-Man. That was a Spider-Man suit. Horrible. And then, we can't have him. We can't have Spidey. We'll have Ben Parker and May Parker. Ben Parker. And then we can have three Spider-Girls that, like, or Spider-Women, versions of Spider-Women that all have spider powers, which is so, oh, my God. I know in our chat we talked about it. And it's just so obnoxious to me, like, oh, check it out, dude. Here's three characters that all can cling to the walls, have strength of a spider, and then maybe they each do something a little different. Like, even Maddie Franklin's suit. It's Iron Spider. It's Iron Spider with the arms that come out. Like, it's just the only cool one was the Julia Carpenter, because that's the, you know, the original Spider Woman, and it's cool to see that. But dude, what the hell, man? I don't know. It's just crappy. I don't know. Sucks.
All right. BC.
Absolutely horrendous. I think the trailer sucked. I didn't like anything about it. I will say that Zach makes a great point about Julia Carpenter, because the only thing that will get me to theater is seeing Sydney Sweeney in that costume, because she is a bombshell. Otherwise, I can wait for that to come to a streaming platform, because again,
yes,
dude, first of all, I absolutely hated some of the costume designs. Like, where do we begin, right? Story-wise, like you said, you know, get as close to Spider-Man as we can, but yet no Spider-Man. I think eventually we're sadly going to get Spider-Man within that universe, but I have zero faith in anything Sony's doing. Like, okay, Madam Web's coming, you got Kraven the Hunter, you have all this garbage dropping in 2024. We have one MCU movie dropping next year, right? So I'm not looking forward to going to the theaters next year whatsoever.
Yeah. Remember how cool the Morbius trailer looked like?
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal. And then remember how that movie turned out? Like, I mean, come on, dude. I don't know. Yep. And sorry, I know, Justin, give your opinion, but like, one more thing is, like, this is just, it's like we've just moved into live action Into the Spider-Verse. That's all we're doing here.
Yep.
You're going to have Ezekiel. There's going to be spider totems. We've got all these spiders. Like, yep. It's dude, just basically, we just got that in the Miles Morales movie. Like, we don't need more.
I think Ezekiel's costume pissed me off the most. I think it looked the worst.
So yeah, it definitely gives you those CW vibes of anything, man, that the CW has put out, whether it's like Gotham or anything that this, you know, and listen, not to hate on anything that CW has put out, because, you know, Arrow,
some of the stuff's really good, yeah.
You know, some stuff is, it's good. It's just the costume designs literally look like they're out of, straight out of like a TV series, right?
Yep.
You know, you really don't get too much of Aranya. Like, you literally only see her face, so you don't really get to see the rest of her costume. But yeah, like the Julia Carpenter, Julia Carpenter's character, right? And
Maddie Franklin.
Yeah, Maddie Franklin with the like you said, the Iron Spider is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, like, even like Ezekiel is a character that doesn't even really have a costume in the Spider-Man universe. He's an old guy. Like,
he's not a villain either.
Yeah. It's not, he's not so much on that side. So I'm just very confused of what they're doing. And then obviously with Dakota Johnson, you know, being Madam Web, they went with a younger version. So this is all going to be completely different than what we know of, like, the Spider-Verse and the Totem. So, and of course, they had to throw it in. They had to throw it into the trailer with, "Well, this guy was with my mom when they were researching spiders in Africa." And you're just like,
"Yeah, dude, what? Oh, cool. Your mom researched spiders in Africa? Oh, so no
everything,
way.
Like, everything from the Sony universe is just coming out of like Africa, because it's the same thing, like
Kraven, right? Yeah, yeah. Oh, that lion bled on me, like."
Yep.
What the hell, dude?
That was nonsense. But I just hope that, you know, with the Sony universe, now they're not going to start leaning into the Inheritor story with Ezekiel and stuff like that. Like, I kind of want this stuff to go untouched. You know, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and I absolutely have zero faith in Sony, unless it's video games. But anything movie-related, I have zero faith. Now, like I was saying, his costume looked horrendous. Justin, in fact, you brought up CW. I think we shared it in our group chat on Instagram, and it was one of the first comments we said, right? It was like, this felt like CW product. Like, it was complete trash, in my opinion. Almost felt like Naomi had a better shot, in my opinion.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Maybe I'm being harsh. I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm not a fan of what we got.
I literally felt like I was watching, and I really haven't watched much of it. It was just here and there. Like, I felt like I was watching the Gotham Knights trailer, like from CW. And, you know, you're like, come on, like, we're in 2023, going to be 2024 or whatever. They have these costume designs that literally look like they came out like first season of Arrow.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't do anything better for like a live action. And the girls look, the females look better. and you know, people are gonna hate on it. It's like, and Zach and I talked about this on our Marvel's review. You know, it's female led. They want to bring females into the movies. Does any female care about any of these characters?
Like, does any female know these characters? Because that even too. most read male readers of comics probably aren't super savvy on Maddie Franklin and Aranya.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm curious to see now such books like Aranya, right? So many people were speculating on this character, and now we got this trailer. I could imagine what a downfall that's going to take.
I feel like all those books kind of had a high
plateaued. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's already come down. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they went up because of the introduction of the movie, like naming some of the characters, and then all Spider books went up because obviously Spider-Verse, right? Like everybody was specking to see who's going to show up in the Spider-Man movie, the newest Spider-Man movie. And even the next one, right? Like people are still specking. Any Spider character could still show up in the next one. And I know you kind of touched on it, and I really felt like they still could go this route in the next movie is the Inhibitors. I really wish they would with the whole Miles thing, but I don't think it's happening. I think it's still just going to be Spider-Man 2099 and the Prowler. Like, I feel like that's how that's and the Spot, obviously. But I really thought that how I always felt was that Spider-Man 2099 was like a vampire or was like a regular character, and he got changed by the Inhibitors because that's that whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like the best thing that's going to come out of this movie is an uptick in tourism to the continent of Africa for people trying to go like get powers. That's probably about it. I'm trying to look real quick. I can't even remember Morbius. Where did Morbius go? If I read that, Costa Rica. He got vampire bats from Costa Rica. Okay, so did they say Africa? Was it for sure Africa, or was it like, I felt like it was like Brazil. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was Africa.
She was studying spiders in the rainforest or some shit. I guess it's stupid, dude.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad. I even thought it was someone like, isn't there? Oh no, but that's a DC character. There's a DC character just called the Spider, and I felt like that's what that was like. Mm-hmm. Like, who were they trying to do? Like, I didn't even know who the villain was until I had to Google it. Like, I had to Google the cast.
And I'm just I didn't know it by the suit, and then once I saw it, I was like, it's got to be Ezekiel, and then I was like, but why did they put him in that suit that's so similar to Spider-Man's suit? Like, he almost looked like, what did they call Tom Holland when he was in overseas? What was his?
Oh, Night Monkey?
Night Monkey. Yeah, it kind of looked like Night Monkey in a way. Like, that kind of design of, like, all black and then, like, red lettering. Kind of like, why did they do that?
I I'm going to be honest. I don't know if it's because they felt like it was too similar to... Well, actually, no, that's not even the case, because it is very similar to Spider-Man in the trailer, because his costume in comics, like, here, I'll put it up here. I know that everybody listening doesn't see it, but it's pretty neat, right? Like, with that little jacket thing that he's got going on. Like, I dig it, but it's nowhere close. Like, when I watched the trailer this morning, I was like, what is this? It just felt off.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens next year when Madam Web comes out from the Spelunk universe. Let's kind of switch over to the Marvel side. So we finally have some information and news coming out for What If Season 2. So the latest trailer just dropped over at Marvel.com, YouTube, everywhere. So Marvel Studios is dropping What If Season 2 coming on December 22nd. Unwrap one episode every day for 9 days consecutive as a gift to you. So interesting way to do this instead of dropping it all at once like they're going to be doing with the Echo show, different than their normal schedule with its weekly. The daily thing is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Let's kind of go around the horn as far as like thoughts on the What If series. We had the trailers, and then we're also going to talk about episodes. So, you know, right off the bat, I know BC posted this on his Instagram. So it's the 9 episodes. We're going to quickly run down the What If. So what if Nebula joined the Nova Corps? What if Peter Quill attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes? Happy Hogan saved Christmas. Iron Man crashed into the Grandmaster. Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper. The Avengers assembled in 1602. Hela fought the Ten Rings. Kalahi, which is the newest character, reshaped the world. And last but not least, what if Strange Supreme intervened? So, BC, what'd you think of your first thoughts of the trailer once it dropped?
I thought the trailer looks great, dude. I think, you know, one thing that DC does better than Marvel and anything is really the animated stuff. And I think What If animation-wise looks great. The trailer itself looks really good. I think some of the things I took away from it was seeing the, you know, the reenactment of the Thanos Captain America fight. You know what I mean? So I guess we're going to be seeing that again here. 1602, that I'm pumped to see. I really think that could be a fucking awesome episode. But
that's a series, right? That's a
used to be. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Early 2000s. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, the Peter Quill thing seems a little interesting. Happy Hogan Saving Christmas on Christmas Day. That episode drops intentionally. So I'm curious what that's about. They kind of gave a little reference to Die Hard there. So that was pretty neat. But Kahuri, I believe that's how it's pronounced, or Kahori, whatever her name is. That little glimpse of what we got of that character who has never made a comic appearance was pretty interesting, dude. I think, you know, you saw, I think don't quote me, but it looked like she got her powers somehow through the Tesseract or something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that was, yeah,
exactly. So I'm, you know, like I said, we've seen many characters from the MCU make their way to comics, like what's her name? Kat Dennings, Harley Keener. Like, they've made their way to comics, but it's just not stuck, or they've not really done anything important with them. Whereas I feel this character has the potential to cross over from the MCU into comics. Clearly they're setting her up for something big. So we'll see. I kind of like the fact that the Watcher says that he is not one to do sequels. and here we are, you know, he's saying things are going wild within the multiverse, and given where the MCU is, can we see some of these characters cross over? So,
okay. And I'm going to ask this to Zach too. So, of the list of episodes, which one do you think is going to be your favorite?
Who are you asking? I'm sorry. You're asking BC, right?
Well, I'm asking BC, but I'm also going to ask you once you...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you were asking Zach.
No.
For myself, it's really going to be, I think, the 1602. I'm going to say the Kahuri. I think the Hella one might surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to go 1602, and maybe even the Strange Supreme intervened, because we left off on the last season with that Strange Supreme madness stuff going on, where I'm curious to see how he's intervening, and if it's the last episode, will it impact some of the stuff happening across the multiverse?
Mm. Okay. Zach, thoughts on the trailer?
Yeah, it looked good. I mean, it looks like, you know, What If season one was really good. It looks, you know, similar to What If season two. I'm gonna watch it. Am I super excited for it? I wouldn't say so. And I mean, I talk about this a little bit more on our Marvel's review. I'm a little multiversed out. All these things just seem so, like, they're not important. They don't hold any, like, weight to them, these, like, alternate universes. And it's almost, in a way, a cash grab, I feel like, you know, so to speak. And do I need to see Peter Quill attack the Avengers? No, I don't. And do I care if Nebula joins the Nova Corps? No, I don't. I don't care. I think, yeah, 1602 looks cool, because I loved the 1602 run. I thought that was really awesome. It was a fun little, like, you know, Elseworlds type thing. And yeah, even that has no, you know, no meaning, because it's not real. But I don't know. I mean, sure. I don't know. Like, it looked good. It looked good, but I don't really care.
All right.
Yeah.
I like the opening with Michael Douglas, and you get to see Winter Soldier. So, like, that's cool, because now they're bringing in more of those characters that you didn't see in the first season. I think my favorite episode, and I think it'll be good, is the Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper, because that's kind of basically having Captain America fighting Winter Soldier, but obviously Steve Rogers is on the Hydra side. So, you know, I'm excited to see that. And obviously all the people that voice all these, you know, all the live action actors and actresses are obviously back. You know, that was the good thing about the first series, right? Is that all these people who you've seen in live action are now voicing all the characters again. So it still keeps it with that. I'm interesting to see how Kahori, you know, where will she show up in a comic?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You know.
Like, is it going to be an Avengers book? Is it going to be
Free Comic Book Day? I bet you it's in a free comic book day book.
That would seem fitting.
Yeah, that would be interesting. So, again, all the episodes for What If drop on, well, they all start to drop December 22nd through the end of the year, one episode a day. So, interesting. It's cool. It's a cool way to do it, I think.
Yeah.
Will it give us the Marvel fatigue, or will actually this kind of help us with some animated stuff and prepare us for X-Men 97? Right? That's what it's called.
Yeah, 97. Yeah.
And who knows when that'll come out. Maybe we'll get a trailer at that point. But yeah. Let's kind of wrap up with the most important talk of the evening or morning, afternoon, whatever, whenever you're listening to this. Loki season 2.
Oh baby, yes.
So Loki season 2 just ended. If you want, you can go back and check out all of Black Crown YouTube shows. He does a breakdown with him and some other YouTubers every week if you want to do a episode to episode breakdown and their thoughts. So let's kind of go around the horn, and because I wanted to prepare myself since I didn't want to watch the last one that BC did to know what he said. So yeah, sorry, I didn't give you a view.
How about I start, because I feel like you two are going to go to war on this.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
And then I'll play kind of like mediator, because you two definitely have a more stronger opinions on this. So in general, and I'll keep mine pretty brief. I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for what it was. I love Owen Wilson, which I was kind of surprised that I did like. I liked OB, was a fun character introduction. I don't know. It was good. It got better. It started a little slow for me. I think it definitely kind of closed out a little better. I wasn't crazy about how powerful Loki got, where he just like can go back in time and like change all these things. And he's pretty OP. But I'm okay with where he ended up. And yeah, I'm good with this being the last we see of Loki. Like, move on from Loki. And that's all I have to say. I liked it well enough. I wasn't impressed. I wasn't let down. It was just kind of middle ground for me. So,
okay.
Fight.
I don't know, man. Do I want to go first? I don't know.
Wait. Okay. Hold on. You're going to go negative. So let's you go.
Wow,
first.
Really? You think I'm going to go negative on this?
Well, yeah, we all know you don't like it. So you go first, because
maybe the five people in that group chat do.
Because so here's the thing. BC has already kind of like done his show on it, and most people who are listening probably know his stance. So give him an opportunity to rebuttal on the things you say. How do you think, BC? Is that good for you?
I think it's fair. I think it's okay. Fair.
So Justin,
as long as we remain friends after this, I'm good.
Okay. So I have my notepad over here with everything. Let's go ahead. And I'm literally just going to cross off things as I say it. So, because I had to write this all this
time. Are you going
to
let him answer your individual things, or are you going to do them all at once?
I'm going to probably go all at once.
Okay.
Or at least like, so much like going back and forth. I mean, we can kind of go back and forth. I feel like you'd actually like some of these too. So, well, let's just go with the things I liked about the show. And then again, we'll go from there. So, things I liked about the show. Jonathan Majors' acting is amazing. I think the way that he played Victor Timely is different than the way he played Kang, than the way that he played He Who Remains. I think towards the end of the series, obviously the season finale, is having He Who Remains back was probably the coolest like interaction between him and Loki. Rest of the series, I just didn't feel, and this is the Marvel fatigue. Like, Marvel takes 5 or 6 episodes to get where they're going. And with Loki only being 6 episodes, it took you to that 6th episode to finally be like, yay, it's doing something. Like, we're finally getting somewhere. Right. I always harp on it, because I always say it's the best series is Hawkeye, because I feel like every episode in Hawkeye was a good, if not great episode. And then you got something cooler on top of it. Like with the introduction of Yelena coming back, and like, you know, Kingpin being introduced. Then, like, there was always something that was cooler and cooler every episode. This, I just felt like we were finally getting to episode 6, and we're like, okay, here it is. First 5 episodes were weak. Checking that off. Now we're going to get into all the stuff that I hate about it.
All the stuff. Did you hear that?
All the stuff that I got. All right. So you
just turned the entire page.
that was the only thing I liked about the entire series. Having the title, the first episode and the last episode named Glorious Purpose is so, what's the word I want to use? Awesome. Lazy writing, because there is never, and I'm going to say never with like an asterisk. There has never been another TV series where the first and last episode is the same title. That is, to me, lazy. Thoughts?
I disagree. I think it came full circle, and that entire series has been about coming full circle. The snake, you know, biting its tail. I think it tied perfectly.
All right. There's a quote in the last episode where Loki says,
"Oh my God, you went in the weeds on this shit." Oh, yeah, okay.
There's a quote that Loki says, "What a waste of time." That's literally what I felt like watching the series. Again, I go back to what Zach kind of said, like this whole multiverse series is, I literally felt like you're watching Endgame part, you know, you're watching Endgame, you're watching Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, like nothing, anything can happen. Loki has the ability to just go back and he's now the Flash. He literally can just change everything.
With no repercussions.
With either. No repercussions. Yeah. And then he spends, it's so funny how episode 6 goes, where he's like, "Obi, tell me how long it would take me to learn all this stuff." And he's like, "Centuries. I don't know, centuries." And then all of a sudden it's like centuries. So he learned all this stuff in centuries instead of learning how to do something else maybe. But then all of a sudden he gains these powers to become the god of time. You're like, "So, Loki, you just get all these powers when you need them, right?"
He spent centuries trying to perfect learning how to do that so that he can save that particular moment, which would impact absolutely everything afterwards. So, yeah, no, I get what you mean by that particular moment, but I don't know. Do you still have a longer list? I feel like there's
we're still going to go. Another thing, that there's a part in the last episode, and I want to tell you, I'm overall series, I hated. I'm sorry, I hated. I didn't care for any of these characters. I really didn't. Like, they're not memorable characters that I'm going to think about again. Like, Mobius and even, like, Renslayer, which this could be, like, and again, I didn't watch her last thing. Do you think that Renslayer is killed by Goliath, or do you think that you see that pyramid in the background and she's going to be saved by one of Kang's variants? Like,
I think she tames Goliath exactly like in the comics.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I think she'll be back.
All right. There's a great quote though in episode 6 with Loki and Sylvie, and they talk about free will and about how they have to destroy something. It's like destroying something to make something, right? Mm-hmm. I felt that this series should, the way it was destroying something to make something and giving free will, this was the perfect opportunity. And I know it's like way too early, but this was the perfect opportunity to destroy the multiverse, destroy the MCU, and completely reboot Marvel Cinematic Universe. Anybody agree with me? I know it's very early to do this, but just think about it. Like, this was your opportunity to do this, and then you could reboot everybody.
Well, technically, Loki probably could still do that at some point.
Exactly. Yes. But it's also clear as day it's going to happen come Secret Wars. So it would be a waste at this point.
Again, I agree. But I feel like that quote in there was like perfect to be like, yeah, this is where it ends. Fade to black. Brand new starting line of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But obviously, again, it's way too early.
Yeah.
Wait, let's give BC an opportunity.
Go ahead. Talk here.
So first off, the whole time slipping thing, I mean, this isn't new. When it comes to Loki, especially within comics, like, he's done this and we've read this. So for myself, that did feel somewhat comic accurate. Now, what I did like, first off, we're going to talk about the series. You were talking about the Glorious Purpose. Like I said, for myself, it came full circle. And I got to say, season two had such a rich experience when you look at how it was done production wise, man. Like, whether they were time traveling, Or example, well, let's use the record scene, right? When she's in the record store and everything starts to spaghettify. Yes, that's what I label it. It's turning to spaghetti. Like when the record is spinning, you get the above view and that's happening. Beautiful. It looked awesome. You know what I mean? I appreciated the rich experience that I feel like the MCU has been slacking on as of late. Then after we get to the final episode and what's happening, we're seeing the Marvel Studios thing at the beginning starting to play in reverse.
Logo, yeah.
Yeah, it was the fine details that were put into this episode that I thought were great. Now, I don't know if you want to start talking the end of the show yet, but... You know, you heard Tom Hiddleston saying that, you know, I think the final line he says to Sylvie and Mobius is like for you, for all of us type thing. And that was something he improvised, right? Because he said that to Odin in Thor 1, I believe. So
yes.
It's cool to see things like that take place. Now, one of the main arguments that people kept saying is that, yeah, well, regardless of the fact, you know, this doesn't close Loki's story because it's not Loki. Loki died in the middle of fucking Infinity War, right? Yeah. But this particular Loki escaped from the Avengers New York stuff that took place, was forced by the TVA to relive everything Loki did live, right? He saw everything unfold. And he had, obviously, a change of, not a change of mind, but he saw how things unfolded, right? Now, with everything he's come to learn within the TVA, his glorious purpose somewhat changed, but stayed the same. The end result for Loki at the end of season 2 was he won, but he still lost everything, right? Loki's always lose, and he literally had to give up everything. So, I don't know. I thought it was well written. Now, another thing that was neat was when he's holding the timelines together, they're dying, whatever, he's reaching for them, and it turns into the whole Tree of Life thing, right? Yeah. What I think is awesome is that he's now encased in that tree, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a tree of his own making. If you read Journey into Mystery 85, that's pretty much how Loki comes about. So I appreciated those little nods.
I agree with you on the tree, and you know, and this goes back to something that Zach and I all love. It's Norse mythology, right? It's the tree Yggdrasil. Him and I have both played God of War. You know, we know all about that with Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And that's kind of something that I kind of want to bring up with Loki, is that Loki was great as a villain. I didn't really like him turning real quick. I did like Sylvie in season 1. I didn't really like her in season 2.
Dude, she was so pointless in season 2. She sucked. Like, she could have honestly might have been better if they didn't even have her show up season 2.
The only thing she did in season 2 was continue to linger the fact that Loki never wanted to lose her. That's literally her only purpose in season
2. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I didn't like it. I did not. They did her character. That was poor writing for her character. And I feel like they just were like, we don't know what to do with her at this point.
Yeah.
So
I think Loki as a character was perfect as the villain. I think as a character, and I know, I feel like Zach will agree with me. Loki is, in Greek mythology, Sisyphus.
Yeah.
If you know Sisyphus, yeah. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, and for people that don't know, Sisyphus was, he figured out ways to like get away from the gods. He did different things. He was brought down to hell. He was able to, he was able to convince one of the gods to bring him back. There's like a whole story, but his main thing in Greek mythology is that he rolls the boulder up the hill and it constantly comes back down, and he keeps thinking that he can do it. He keeps thinking that he has this purpose of I'm going to get this done, but it constantly fails. It constantly falls back down. That's where I feel like Loki is great at, because that's where Loki's character is. You know, he strives for greatness. And even I watched this video today, and I haven't seen it in so long, like Loki 1 and Avengers, and he just looks so cool in those two movies. And to think, yes, he's been in 6 movies and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, he was such a great villain. And, you know, for him to say that, and for people to say that, is he the best Marvel character? Like in this, you know, put him up there with Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, put him up there with the Chris Evans, you know, Captain America. you know, putting him up there as the best villain with like Thanos. No, because he's not a villain. He wasn't a villain after fucking Avengers. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I literally lost respect. And this again goes back to like the writing. I literally lost respect Loki as a character after, in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
You know, and I really at the point in this series that I was like, this is so corny, was like the beginning of the final episode. There's so much stuff that happens in the final episode, is where it becomes more of like a comedy where he's like trying to like tell these guys, oh, listen, you need to move faster. No, we need to do this. Like, it was so much of becoming of like a comedy thing for me. And I know like people are always like, oh, Justin, you hate comedy though. No. It's not that I love to laugh, but I just like seeing Loki like that is just like not, not cool. Yeah. And all those people that I remember when the original trailer dropped, there was this one more thing I want to talk about. When the original trailers dropped and you had the Zodiac thing, right? Or Zorak, whatever the fucking thing was, and people were specking on that book and that stupid Thor book blew up. Oh my God, for the people that thought like anything was coming out of that was like hilarious.
Look, I agree with some of the things you're saying. Loki, yes, he's not been a villain since after Avengers, technically, but they have teased the flip-flop of Loki, right? At any moment, they always teased you with a turning point, right? But after we got his death in Infinity War, people were devastated, right? He was a big character to the MCU. So the way they wrote him here, again, isn't too far off from the comics and what we saw within the Agent of Asgard and so forth. So I didn't feel like they fell completely off. What I would like to see, because Tom Hiddleston himself said, you know, ruling me out in future MCU projects would be foolish type thing. Like, you never know. I would like to see him follow up as being the Avenger Prime, kind of like in the comics, right? And they can be setting him up for that. Again, he's reached his god status, is now literally holding the multiverse together. He is the Loom, but with his victory comes a huge loss. So he very much like that rock you're talking about, bringing it up. Sure, he succeeded to get it to the top, but there's still the rock falling down. That's literally how this ends.
Yeah.
But do you feel that like he could have been, do you feel like that Loki could have been done after Endgame? Like him getting killed by Thanos?
I think what they've put together here, and especially in season two of Loki, is very significant and important to what takes place next in the MCU. Because right now, as it's ended, they can go multiple ways when it comes to the whole Jonathan Majors stuff, right? That could have been the end of it, right? We could never see Jonathan Majors after that again, and it would make perfect sense because Loki won, right? Maybe someone else starts.
Yeah, you could definitely. You could definitely set Loki up as the Emperor Doom role for Secret Wars in a way.
Exactly. Maybe he does have his turning point, which I think would suck because that like a lot of good stuff just took place.
That would be classic Marvel where it was just like everything they just did was pointless cash grab. And then Loki's the villain again, you know, like
it would make sense to go Doom at 1,000%, but I don't want it to be rushed because man, that God Emperor Doom is a big character, and there was a lot of development before that. Doom needs to see his day before he hits that status. Yeah. Although I do want to see him rip Thanos's entire skeleton from his corp, that would be amazing. But no, I don't think this is the end of Loki. I feel like what took place was very important for the MCU, and we'll see where it goes from there, because Secret Wars is going to change all of it. So whatever Loki is holding together of the multiverse, something's going to happen to him because they're going to be setting it up. Is he holding it and feeling timelines, you know, dying, and you know, probably ends up playing the role of Avenger Prime? Will he lead the way? I don't know. We don't know. So many things could unfold, but I don't think we've seen the end of him.
Do you think this series is going to be a waste now with what I'm sure you read the director,
for Kang Dynasty?
Yes.
No, I don't. And to be honest with you, maybe Kang Dynasty wasn't necessary leading up to Secret Wars. We look at everybody talking about the future of MCU. Has anyone even referenced Kang Dynasty? No, they overlook it. They just look straight at Secret Wars. Like, yeah, Miles Morales is coming. Yeah, this guy's coming. Like, that's all the focus is on. So maybe they'll rewrite Kang Dynasty, make it for a different purpose. Maybe they are going to pivot and shy away from Kang himself, which I think sucks because Kang has the potential, man, to be one of the Thanos status level when it comes to villains, right?
Yeah, he should have been. Yeah, he should be, but that's what it is. Is like the first time that we saw a quote unquote Kang variant was Loki season one, and then you get another variant in this, and in between, obviously, you get the Kang and Ant-Man, and it's just like that was supposed to be your big baddie, like you're building towards Kang, and now it's like now there's talking about getting away from it. Now it makes like no sense that what has occurred as far as Kang and his variants. In either of these two seasons,
I don't think that.
And I love, believe me, I love Jonathan Majors as an actor. I thought he did a great job, and that was like seriously the only holding point in this entire season. Like, I will go back and watch just the last episode, and his interactions between him and Loki is my favorite. Everything else, I could probably just like whatever.
Oh, dude! Even in season two, when Loki stands up to him and looks at him and says, "What makes you think this is the first time we've had this conversation?" That was boss.
Yeah, like that's cool. Like, but again, like Marvel can't wait. You can't give me till fucking episode six to like give me something.
No, I get it. But what I'm saying about Kang, like you were saying, Quantumania. I don't think that Kang was supposed to be the Kang whatsoever. Maybe it's the beginning buildup towards him becoming the big Kang. We saw also within Loki season two how Victor Timely is holding the prototype, which eventually becomes the chair for Kang the Conqueror. So, you know, we've left off on a certain way now with season two. This, you know, a version of Kang travel to the 31st century, get the technology to become the Kang was, you know, there's a reason why the Council of Kangs has alienated a certain Kang, right? And that was the guy. So we haven't seen the end of him. I'm sure something's going to happen. And I hope.
Maybe not.
Or maybe not because of everything happening in Jonathan Majors' personal life.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
All right. Overall, I did not like the series. I did not like the season.
And the series or the season?
The season. Okay. Like, you know, and but then it's like 50-50 because I did like, I can rewatch season one because I liked Sylvie in season one. I like the Loki variants. I like He Who Remains. I thought it was interesting, like all the buildup. I thought the twists were good, but this season, like, I couldn't care. Like, again, like you literally brought everything, like episode six just literally made the whole series stupid to me because you just kept reversing time. And I'm, you know,
I felt like episode six was like this season of Loki was like WandaVision, where I could just watch the last episodes because all the stuff with like the other TVA members, like the guy who was like an actor and is like, that was so pointless. Even the Victor, to be honest, even the Victor Timely shit was pointless in a way. Like it all, like you could really just watch it just like WandaVision and I'll cut through the rest until Monica Rambeau gets her powers and then I'm good to go. And then like same with this in a way. But I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was, but I wasn't blown out of the park by it.
One thing I do want to mention, though, is that they end the season with the TVA back intact, right? Now, we know that Deadpool 3 is going to have some, you know, time-jumping thing with Deadpool, Hugh Jackman. So I imagine the TVA, now that they're hunting Kang variants, you know, maybe they'll be tied to this because there has been rumors that the TVA is going to be involved in Deadpool 3. So they're hunting Kang variants. I think they're going to start to build towards Secret Wars. Don't be surprised if the TVA themselves helps set it up. I think the Void ends up being Battle World, to be honest with you. And there's just so much that is referenced in just the final episode. Example, the, you know, what's his name? Owen Wilson was saying that, you know, there was the 616 stuff that transpired.
Yeah,
right?
You see a picture of Kang.
Yeah, they referenced that, you know, the Quantum Realm is basically like the basement of the 616 universe, right? So like it happens on a minor scale. When Kang gets out, maybe where he went through gets him out of where he is from the Quantum Realm. Maybe it helps him get to the next level. So there's that possibility. They have the capacity of setting up Kang to be even bigger of a threat now moving forward, or write him off because of what's happening in his personal life. But one guy I don't trust after watching season two, I loved him so much in this series, in the season. Obi, I'm telling you, something's up with Obi. Obi's gonna do something that's gonna cost everybody.
You heard it here first, folks. Yeah. Or maybe you heard it last week when he talked about it on his YouTube channel. So. All right. Good talk all around.
Yeah, we're still friends. We're good.
We're good. You're still wearing the shirt. Yeah. I'm not telling you to take it off yet.
I'm right. I'm wearing it. Get your t-shirts, people.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully you enjoyed the newest one as well.
Still didn't get it.
Oh, God.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll have to fix that. Appreciate BC coming on, of course, as always.
Yeah,
you
man,
can find
always.
Black Crown Comics on Instagram, his YouTube. He does pretty much one or two shows a week. Sometimes he shows up on Newbie Show, of course, Newbie Comics, but who knows what's going on with Newbie right now. Yeah. Any last words before we get out of here?
No, man. Guys, thank you for having me on. Yes, I go live Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern time. This Sunday, actually, I'm going to have Brian McClay on. So we're going to have a fun show talking a lot of stuff. You've seen what Brian's been up to. So I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, only one show per week. One show per week, but maybe more. But the most important show is every Friday in the morning, my drive to work, listening to the Comic-Con podcast. That's right. Hell so yeah. Thank you for everybody listening today.
Awesome. Zach, again, thanks for being able to pop on remotely.
Yeah, of course. Just looking forward to next week. Like I said, we're working on a pretty cool guest for next week, something we've kind of talked about here recently. That's about it here.
And of course, since the next episode would be dropping on Friday, the following Friday, everyone who obviously here in the States, happy Thanksgiving. To your friends and family, you know, stay safe that holiday weekend. Black Friday is coming up as well, but definitely a happy Thanksgiving to everyone here. And then for myself, just follow me on the Instagram. You'll know when I have some whatnot sales coming up. And then we are guaranteed to be at King Kong April 6th. So make sure you check out King Kong on Instagram. And then, of course, still running for the rest of the month. You still have about 15 days left. The $15 off. $100 purchase or more over on the Shortbox app. Use the code ComicCom15. That's ComicCom15 to get $15 off any slab or maybe a raw book. You get over $100, I guess. And then that's it. Look forward to hopefully we definitely will be able to get that guest that Zach is talking about. We don't want to give anything out, but we'll see you all next week for a new episode. Thanks, everybody. Later.